Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Tada, my dear, and shalom to all. We are currently in the vestibule of Revelation, a detailed letter from Jude written to those who have, let's say, answered the call. And remember, all our past programs are archived on shofarministries.net. Honey, please ask God for his anointing.
Abba, Father, we praise you and thank you for sending us your anointed one to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and free the many captives bound in the clutches of sin, giving them liberty with the oil of joy. We stand firm on your word that you will always direct our path, make our way smooth, and keep our burdens light. Anoint this program, O Lord, and all those listening right now. And please, give your ear to our personal requests to include the salvation of all our loved ones. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, BB, I heard, was rushed back to the hospital.
Oh, yes, he was. Early Sunday and released on Monday, just in time for the reform vote, which did pass. He was fitted with a pacemaker after his monitor, implanted a week ago, registered a transient roadblock.
The monitor saved his life.
Oh, it did. And his doctors disclosed that BB has had a history of heart conduction problems for some 20 years. And about the reform bill, as we have been reporting for months now, hundreds of left-leaning protesters have daily filled the streets to include many of the military. This is still happening as the left is now angry. So this law revokes the high court's power to disqualify decisions that are made by the government's elected authority of the people. But these protesters are willing to have a civil war over this because most of the right wanted this bill to pass. Besides that, Israelis are currently in peril from the widening threat from Iran's proxies. The Islamic Republic's malevolent foothold is planted in every corner of the Middle East.
And its other proxies in Lebanon and Gaza.
As well, vast quantities of sophisticated weapons are being poured out to Israel's enemies, endangering their national security. But in spite of all that, and the many months of protesting, the reform bill passed yesterday. For Bibi has always said it was important in order to curb the power of unelected judges over the will of the people.
And many on the right will agree with that.
Yes, they did. And that's from after experiencing some bad rulings. In Israel, it comes down to one leading Supreme Court judge over approximately 15 for the final ruling. And when it comes down to just one, they can be bribed, and everyone suspects it.
Which could be why Biden was against the reforms.
Especially when it pertains to decisions made about the Palestinians,
who the left favor every time.
So we'll see if the left leaning of the military, who is largely of the Air Force, stands with Bibi or resigns, as they threaten to do.
Well, some good news is finally President Biden has been invited to the White House.
Yes, sometime this fall. I am sure the president of Israel's recent visit to Congress, where he received 30 standing ovations, might have had some influence. If Biden doesn't rescind that rule due to this reform bill passing. Anyhow, more on all that in our newsletter, which is coming out later this week.
Okay, we do welcome all of your comments and end-time questions, either by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much appreciated. And any correspondent will automatically add you to our news list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
Okay, let us begin by reminding everyone again, especially if you are a teacher of His Word, the importance of checking the verses in its closest original text.
Yeah, we use the J.P. Green Interlinear Bible,
which uses the Greek Textus Receptus and the original Hebrew Masoretic text, while giving the English word directly underneath, as well as a Strong's number above each word, with the English written on the side columns as well.
Yeah, you know, all translation, they should be checked for accuracy.
And the Hebrew Masoretic text was discovered amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls, confirming the Essenes read from the Masoretic text. God purposely arranged all that for us to find today.
Isn't that just amazing?
And there are other reasons to support and actually prove the authenticity of the Masoretic text, with the most famous reason being the equal distant lettering that doesn't happen in other texts. Now, in our newsletter of March back in 2016, it is explained and is up on our website, shofarministries.net.
Okay, time for a quick summary.
Okay. Well, Jude begins his letter by qualifying the bride as being called by the Father, sanctified and kept in Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit changed Jude's mind about the topic of his letter from a salvation message to instead the importance of contending earnestly for the true faith. Why? Because certain ungodly men are creeping in unnoticed, teaching unbridled lust and denying the true gospel. Also, the original Greek says that these ungodly ones were from old or times past and have previously been marked out for condemnation.
In other words, they've been around forever.
Yes. There is an evil seed that has infiltrated the human race.
Yes, it's Adam and Eve.
And Jesus himself, in his parables of Matthew 13, calls them the tares that grow amongst us wheat. Jude also reminds us that God does judge rebellion, and we studied the golden calf incident as an example where 3,000 men were slaughtered under God's direct order. And the others were forgiven, but still learned a mighty lesson, and then were given a duplicate set of commandments.
Well, since Moses smashed the first set.
He did. We also talked about some other judgments, as when the Israelites refused to enter Canaan.
Yeah, because of the huge giants.
Yes, not believing God would help them. So instead, that generation wandered in the wilderness 40 more years.
Except for Joshua and Caleb.
Because they were the two spies who did want to obey God and enter in. As you know, the giants are the descendants from the fallen angels, called the sons of God because God directly created them, who probably came disguised as handsome, valiant men to mate with beautiful women on earth.
As stated in Genesis 6.
Yes. And we sometimes overlook that God revealed early on in Genesis 3 that Satan has a seed. So the angels that rebelled apparently have seeds. For Genesis 6 does say they produced those mighty men of old, meaning giants, which is Gabor in Hebrew. So I know that's hard to grasp when casually reading, or as a new believer, you kind of just tend to move on.
Anyhow, there has always been wickedness amongst us.
Yes, so man can have the freedom to choose between good and evil. And by the way, that choice is expanding in these last days, for evil is increasing big time and quickly, well, certainly since I was a child, particularly when they took prayer out of the schools.
You know, that seemed like the catalyst.
I do want to point out that in Psalm 58, David speaks of those who are wicked from the womb, who go astray as soon as they are born, and their poison is like the poison of a serpent. David knew all about the wicked.
Well, yeah, he should. He killed Goliath, the giant.
And Goliath's brothers.
Okay, that brought us up last week to Jude verse 6.
Yes, which says that the fallen angels are already judged because they did not keep their own domain in the heavenlies and left their abode or habitat, which can also mean their original form. And we pointed out last week how Abraham entertained angels who looked just like regular men.
It was Satan's desire to corrupt the entire Adamite seed.
Well, of course, so the Savior could never be born. And Satan came close, except for the undefiled Noah. And when the floods came, it destroyed them all who were not in the ark, because the whole world at that time was tainted with the wicked seed. So, here comes another example of why we need to look up words. Most English Bibles say Noah was perfect, but the Hebrew word is tamim, which really means undefiled.
Because no person can be perfect.
Right, only Yeshua.
Amen. So, a frequent question is, how were giants still around even after the flood?
Well, God did tell us that would happen in Genesis 6, verse 4. Let's look at that again.
There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward.
Key words here, also afterward.
When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore to them.
All right, so, and also afterward. But honestly, no one knows for sure how. But different theologians have given four different possibilities. Genesis 6 only mentions Noah and his generations as being undefiled. But God allowed Noah's sons to bring their wives. Perhaps a wicked seed came from them. For we do know that Nimrod was Ham and his wife's grandson, who built the Tower of Babel. So perhaps it came through that line, because Genesis says Nimrod became, or the Hebrew says began to be, a mighty one, a gabor, which, as we said, also means a giant.
Which means he became wicked.
Yes. Honey, please read Genesis 10, verse 9, speaking of Nimrod.
He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord.
Okay, so here's another great example for why we should look up words. How could Nimrod become a gabor before the Lord? Because once again, if something sounds fishy, start looking up the words. The word for became here is number 6440, panim, and it literally means against in our 21st century vocabulary. So knowing this now, please read again that verse.
He was a mighty hunter against the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter against the Lord.
Against the Lord. Doesn't sound so fishy now.
So did Nimrod have some of that evil seed?
Looks likely. Also, the Bible never mentions Nimrod's offspring, probably because they were wicked. Anyhow, there are others. And some have said, perhaps, some of the giants during the flood hid underground, as in caves, which archaeologists have discovered. And by the way, the pyramids and other megalithic structures actually withstood the flood and are still here today, and not just in Egypt. Many in Peru, and hundreds of burial mounds of giants are being discovered on a regular basis, even in the United States.
And some right here in Ohio.
Or there's another possibility, perhaps other angels after the flood rebelled. Or lastly, and also feasible, is perhaps the ones who did rebel but did not cohabitate with women yet, were not in the abyss, as Jude verse 6 says, but rather some were up in the heavenlies while the flood occurred.
They do exist up there, according to Ephesians 6.
But the fallen angels, the Nephilim, that did cohabitate with women, according to Jude 6, are reserved under darkness till they will be used in the final judgment. And that's also confirmed in 2 Peter 2, that they are waiting to be let loose upon the earth to torment the earth dwellers.
And Revelation 9 confirms that as well.
Yep. When Abaddon is given the key to open that bottomless pit.
So glad God promised we won't be here for that.
Right. Let's read 2 Peter 2 because it does sum it up so nicely. Verses 4 through 7.
God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the whole world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked.
Okay, so that's a mouthful. But again, God is reserving these fallen angels till the tribulation to be let out upon the earth as part of the judgment to the earth dwellers. Okay, moving right along, let's read Jude verse 7.
As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Sexual immorality covers it all. But Jude goes on to say, and gone after strange flesh, which could also refer to sex with angels. It also says that Sodom and Gomorrah was set forth as an example. Saints, are you using this example to those caught up in homosexuality? Or, when given the opportunity, are you compromising by staying silent? God said in Genesis 2:24, a man should be joined to his wife. Anything else is sexual immorality.
And that would include bestiality as well.
Oh, for sure, which is also on the rise. If you are practicing a lifestyle of sexual immorality, truly repent and change your ways, or you will receive judgment. You are being deceived if you believe anything else. America is surely like Sodom and Gomorrah, not only for engaging in it, but also by the mere condoning of it. And they have the gall to persecute those who speak the truth.
Well, you know, it's all demonic.
Yep. So verse 5, 6, and 7 as a whole reminds us that God does judge and gave examples. The Israelites, the fallen angels, and even those cities for their immorality. You should reread Genesis 19 this week. Okay, Jude verse 8.
Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries.
Now, the Greek word for dignitaries is doxa, number 1391, and it means someone of high moral character with high standards or any glorious one in heaven. And dreamers refers to the apostates, false teachers who will use dreams to confirm what they say, as in, God is doing a new thing. But of course, it's not backed by scripture. We have a lot of dreamers these days, and your discernment is a must. It is imperative we spend a credible amount of time studying the Word of God to exercise your mind, as Hebrews 5 commands we all do, especially since Jesus did say to watch out for deception in Matthew 24, and that also means within the church. So, and unless you are above temptation, you too can be deceived.
We all can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jude, verse 9.
Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Okay, so there's lots of commentaries about this verse. My thoughts are pretty simple. Satan thought he could bluff the chief prince over Israel, Michael the archangel, by saying that Moses disobeyed God so that he has the right to his body, because Satan knew Moses' body would have been worshipped. So God hid it. But interesting that it was near Mount Nebo in the same area Elijah was taken up in the chariot. And I suspect Moses was resurrected pretty quickly, like in maybe 3 days, as a prototype of Jesus. Anyhow, we know Moses received a new body because we read in Matthew 17 that he was at the Transfiguration with Elijah, who obviously had a new body as well.
And they will be back in the first half of the tribulation.
Yep, as the two witnesses of Revelation 11. Anyhow, Satan lost out when Michael said,
"The Lord rebuke you."
You see, Jude was not wanting to tell us how Michael treated the devil, but rather to teach us how to rid ourselves from devils and demons. Today we should say, "In the name of Jesus, you must go, and the Lord rebuke you." If you even suspect there is evil in your house, demand that it leave by using the name of Jesus. And I sometimes wonder if salvation is even a prerequisite, because many people of the cloth, some not born again, have cast out demons just by using Jesus' name. For the name of Jesus is extremely powerful. And often that tormented person that has just been freed because of your immediate sharing of the gospel will and must immediately turn their lives over to Christ. Then speak the word of God into their soul and teach them why they need to saturate themselves with Scripture. This can be done. God says so. So what about you? Are you being tormented? Quickly turn your life over to Christ or recommit your life to Christ, because he's your Savior. Read his word for strength and power over your enemy. You know, your enemy wants to torment you anyway, and he'll use every door he can to do that. Wake up. Do it right now. You know, Christ suffered greatly. He was crucified for you, for all of us. He paid your entire debt for all sins. And he said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and is knocking." If you're hearing his voice, he says, "Why aren't you opening that door? I will come into you and will dine with you and you with me." I know you hear his voice and he's knocking right now, but he won't come in until you ask him to. It's your move. Always your choice. So don't be a fool. You too can be the beneficiary of this love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea almost 2,000 years ago in 32 AD. All right, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6, verses 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, speaking of Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many ways you might not even know. You should all memorize Psalm 122, verse 6. So till next time, tell someone about Jesus. Shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.